Welcome back to the Sights On Podcast. This is episode 9. We are going into amendments 3, 4, and 5. Today, it's Alex and Lucci here. We're going to focus on the importance of these amendments and why they are still significant today. They're really not that known by people because they are glanced upon. We really only know the first two amendments and then probably the 10th or the 9th, but these three amendments are very important to talk about today. So let's take a step back before we get right into it. Alex, we talked about what we did last week. So what are you doing next week?
So for this week, I'm hanging out with my girlfriend. Next week, I am going to Stephenville. So we might not have a nuts and bolts or any episode. So next week, up in the air right now, but going to Stephenville, going to hang out, going to eat food, you know, and just hang out with her while we have time. And that's about it for me. What about you?
Yeah, I plan to keep playing tennis. Like I know it's been so hard to find the way to play tennis, and I've finally gotten involved in the club at my school.
That's awesome.
So I've started hitting my one-handed backhand again, started getting my serve back in play.
Was it rusty a little bit? Did you feel like, for me, when I went out there, I'm always a little embarrassed. I'm like, man, you used to have this.
Yeah. We played like in March.
Yeah.
And you were so tired. Yeah. I was still had some conditioning, but I could still feel that I was so sore. And even last week when I started playing again, my arm was like, oh, I had to put an ice bath on that one because it was just, I couldn't lift it after serving so much. So I'm glad that you're going back to Stephenville. You said that. And then you have a date tonight too.
Yeah.
Best of luck with that.
Thank you.
Yeah. I think you'll enjoy it.
Yeah, definitely a well-needed date. We have not been on one in a minute. So.
Yeah. So let's get right into it. So we'll start with the Third Amendment. The Third Amendment, it just tells you that America, the government cannot quarter any soldiers within your household. This is a very important thing because back in the time, whenever we go to the colonialist times, the one thing that the British soldiers, the King George did, is that he allowed the British soldiers to quarter into their house.
It was cheaper, right, than having to like build a fort or build something. It was like, hey, just take over their house. They'll be fine. And then make sure you feed them and keep good care of these soldiers, you know?
Yeah. And I just want you to imagine that. Imagine your own home, this home right now, and a British soldier or any soldier, the American soldier, comes to your house and says, I need to stay in your place. You have to let me get in.
Yeah, you have to let me in and stay for as long as I need to. And don't think of it as just one soldier. Let's think of like 10 soldiers that are like, hey, we need to camp out for a couple of days here, and we're going to use everything you have.
Yeah, and we need you to cook. We need you to cook for all of us. We need your water supply. We need to use your bathrooms, and we're going to get all of your beds. You're going to have to sleep on the sofa because we're more important than you, and we need to have this so that we can contribute to the government. That's your service to the government, all right? So
yeah, that's just crazy. Imagine that. Now, thankfully in America, we have never actually had a SCOTUS case, which is a Supreme Court case about the Third Amendment. No time in our government's time have they tried this, which is so nice that we've never had to worry about like, oh, well, this is a possibility because it's never happened yet. So, and I mean, it could happen futurely, but in the past, it has never happened. Thank the Lord. So,
yeah, I couldn't imagine someone barging into my house saying that you need to be here. So the origin was in the Quartering Act, and if you don't know what that means, it's just an act that King George said, no, you can go into the houses of other people. If they don't comply, then those people are going to get higher taxes. They're going to have repercussions. And that was the one thing that the founder said, no, I don't want that to ever happen again in the history of America, because the private property matters for the individual, and nobody else should ever take that away from them. So if you have people inside your house that are not belonging to you, that should never happen in the U.S. because we have that Third Amendment.
Yeah.
And I just want to tell a little story too. My mom, she came from Vietnam. And if you know anything about Vietnam, it's just communist. Communism, the soldiers have anything, they have every right to do anything they want inside the country. And the one thing that they did whenever my mom was living there for the first 14 years of her life is that they barged in and they said that We can live inside your house. You have to cook for us. You have to do everything we say you do. If not, you will be in prison or you will disappear off the face of the earth because we have the power. And if you don't, we're going to put fear into your families. We're going to get everyone in your neighborhood and punish them because of what you did. Imagine that. And additionally, whenever the people, the soldiers came in, they could do anything. They could rape some of the people in the family. They could do that without any consequence. They could take the family member and make them do servile work in the fields for them. And they could do almost anything they wanted without any repercussion. So imagine that today in America. That's not going to happen. We never want that to happen. That's why this Third Amendment is so important. It's overlooked because we've never had an issue on it, but it's still important to talk about and still important to conserve for our people, for our children in the future.
Yeah, we never want to loosen up our strengths of us as the people, because we see even in our today's government, you kind of let the government have a little more power and a little more, and then they try a little more each time, like, oh well, you let that slide, so why don't we let this slide too. Mm-hmm. And they just reach a little bit farther than they should, and we never want them to reach more than what they should be allowed to reach for.
Yeah, the whole purpose of the Bill of Rights was to limit the power of the government.
Yeah, give the people the power.
Yeah,
power of the people.
Power of the people. And if you limit the government's power, then the people can survive on their own. They can survive without thinking that they're in fear. And if you look at all the countries in the world, the places where you have the most freedom, the most limited governments, are the places where the people thrive. Here is the prime example. If you look at countries below us, Venezuela, we talked about that last episode. It's horrible because the government has so much control. They took away the guns. And when you take away the guns, you have the power over the people. And then you can live in their house. You can take away their freedom. But if you go back into Argentina, now they have a better leader coming in place. And he's taking better steps in action. Still a lot of power, but I want to see that power limited. And then you'll see better results.
Yeah, I can see that. I definitely need to do more research on the Argentinian president, but yeah.
Yeah, we'll have more episodes on other leaders.
Maybe future leaders or different leaders of different countries. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was the Third Amendment. Alex, what do you think about the Fourth Amendment?
So Fourth Amendment, you know, it is no unreasonable search and seizure. And I think this, and going on to the next context of the Fifth Amendment, which is your Miranda rights as a simple terms, are some of the best amendments when it comes to protecting us from the government again. Why? Because it stops corruption. It doesn't stop all corruption, but it stops the corruption from being horrible, like in, let's say, Mexico or countries in Africa or even Asia. You know, it stops the corruption because if they had the search and seizure, they could search your car. They could, you know, look through all your stuff. They could go through your house. And, you know, in America, they have to get a warrant. So they have to get a judge. They have to get it signed, which I don't know how long that takes, maybe a day or so, but still, you have time to figure out what you're going to do. Like, they can't rush in to an investigation on you. They don't have the right, unless they ask, like, can we search your car? You know, then they can, if you say yes, but they can't search it without your consent, you know?
That's very important. If you go back to my Vietnam story, they can search and seize anything they want in your house. Nothing is your property. Nothing is private. This one amendment adds to the privacy of us, the American people. If we didn't have this amendment, think about it. The police could just come into your house and take away your belongings, and criminalize you based on things that they illegally obtained. That's the one thing in the Fourth Amendment. It makes it illegal to prosecute someone based on evidence that's illegally obtained. So let's say that you are in your house and you have, let's say, something that you...
Let's say you have weed in your house.
You have weed in your house. And the police officer comes and breaks down your door and finds that you have weed. He cannot use that to make you... He can't put you in jail because of that, because that evidence was illegally obtained if he did not have a warrant. Now, if he had a warrant, if he had reasonable cause to actually find you and try to arrest you, then he would have the actual probable cause to go into that place and find the weed and then prosecute you. But there is a protection. You have to have a reasonable cause, and you have to have a warrant to, in order to prosecute someone.
Yeah, and there are, like, ways around it. Like, you know, trash cans are considered, like, when they're out on the street, are considered in the public. So you can't, if the government can dig through your trash can if they want to. It'll look weird, but they can. Or, like, let's say there's a crime and someone's running, they're able to get into your house, they run your house, the police can run into your house to chase that guy down, and then they're in your house already. So you're seeing, you're, and let's say it all ends up in your house, then they can be there because it's now an investigation all in your house. So it just, there are circumstances where they can get in there, but those are kind of, I don't know if I'd call it rare, but semi-rare.
Okay, yeah. But, and the, if you look at the countries that do not have this amendment, you will see that people live in fear in those countries because the soldiers, they are very powerful in those countries. They can do anything they want.
Yeah.
And that can't happen here.
In America, we have, I think it's called the Plebeius Corpus. It's so, like, let's say you go to Mexico and they ask to see your ID and they take it. They can take it to the station. But in America, they can't do that. Mm-hmm. Like, they could take whatever you want. They go, okay, well, come back in 2 days and you can pick up your ID at the station. They can't take your stuff, you know?
Yeah.
I learned that in government. I don't remember the full story, but I have a very good teacher that told that story of, like, what a plebeius corpus is. Certain, mostly South American countries, they don't have that. And so they can take something and then tell you, you got to come up to the station. And if you don't have your ID, you know, you can't leave the country. So.
Yeah. And I was talking to my piano teacher. He's from Lebanon. And if you've ever been to that place, it's beautiful if you go to the right places. But it's a place that's it's attacked, it's controlled by a Hezbollah, the dominant terrorist group in the area.
Is that in, like, the Middle East kind of?
Kind of near Israel, but more closer downwards. So when you have Lebanon, and he was coming from the airport, and he's American, right? Mm-hmm. Hezbollahs hate Americans. And he got out off the airport, which is controlled by Hezbollah, and then you go outer to the outer cities, where the outer locations, they're controlled by Christians. So when you come into Hezbollah, and he's driving down the freeway, at each checkpoint, at each exit, the Hezbollah armies, they have checkpoints there. And whenever you exit, you have to stop at the checkpoint and you have to unload everything, and they can check everything you have. All your luggage, all of your people inside the car. They'll check your passports. If you have an American passport, good luck. You're going to be gone because they hate you. So he was on that way, and he had to find an area to exit because he was almost out of gas.
Yeah.
And he just kept on going down that highway, checkpoint after checkpoint after checkpoint after checkpoint after checkpoint. And he finally got to the last exit that was near the Christian cities, and he found the exit and got off. But imagine if he did not find the exit, he would be in super trouble, because you live in a country where you just screen and you just can be checked after checked, and you're living in constant fear of that.
Yeah. I mean, even in, feeling, like, Tajikistan, they have, like, when we were going through the airport, they were checking our bag, and, like, if they found, like, gold or something, they actually want it. Like, they don't want you to take gold and stuff out of the country. So we had, like, Dad had this typewriter and had a little bit of supposed gold inside of it. I don't know how or why, but they were, like, they didn't want it, but they were, like, oh, why is there gold? Like, you're trying to smuggle out gold out into the country? Like, did you hide it in the typewriter, you know?
Yeah.
And if they wanted it, they could have been, like, no, you can't take this, you know, but They didn't care, thankfully. They just thought it was a typewriter. But they were suspicious.
Wow.
And even with money, there's some things. Like, you can't take out money out into the country, like old Soviet money and stuff like that. They don't want you to take that. It's considered wrong. Wow. And they would take it from you. They would search your bag as soon as, if they really wanted to. Wow. And they don't have the right. I mean, they do have the right, I guess. But here in America, like, you can, you know, just take someone's, you know, coins or stuff like that.
Yeah. That reminds me of whenever I went to Vietnam, you had to bribe the police officers in order for them to not give you trouble.
That's same with Mexico. Yeah, I've heard that so many stories in Mexico. They're like, all right, give us a little money and you can be on your way.
Yeah. And if you didn't, they're going to give you trouble. They're going to frisk you until they find something.
Like I said, that lady, like, they took her ID, and they were like, all right, you're gonna have to come up to the station. Now, thankfully, she had a friend that knew the police officers, and he was able to go up to the station, get her ID back, and he was like, all right, you can go, but they wanted her.
Yeah. So if we don't have this amendment, it will get to the point where you will have to bribe the police officer, and then you are just like, what are you even doing then? Because that's even illegal to bribe a police officer, and then you don't have the safety. You don't even know if you can go to the law and have safety within, because you have nobody to protect you now.
Yeah, and if I remember right, actually, how the story went with that lady is they took her ID, right? But she was never going to go back to get her ID, because she was like, I'll just go print one back when I get to the United States. I have my passport. I'll use my passport. I'll just go back from Mexico up to America, and I'll just make a new ID. I'll go to DPS. But she knew the bartender, I think it was. He knew the police officer, police station. He went there, got her ID back. He's like, here you go. Which is super thankful to that guy. Like, I mean, that's a really good person to think, oh, I know that guy. I'm not going to let that happen and help you out there.
Yeah. So, encompassing the Fourth Amendment, it just
keeps protects in check us from injustice of like the police.
Of the police. So, the police is a powerful portion of the government. It just makes sure that the police stays within its checks. It stays within
that. Yeah, that those police officers could be in trouble if they try to break their laws. Because I'm sure before this, there were times even when this law came out that like police didn't always follow the rules, and they would break their search, and they would search you, you know, and stuff like that. And so by having that, it protects us, because, well, now we can sue you, or we can get you your job lost because you broke your own rules.
Yeah. It also prevents a lot of unnecessary conflicts with the police, because I've got one ticket for driving a little bit over the speed limit, but the thing with the officers that they have to have a set of things that they have to say, and they can't go off that protocol, because if they do, they might get in trouble. That protocol helps keep the conversations between the individual and the police officer professional, and it doesn't make it to where it gets anywhere to a dangerous place. So I think this amendment's great, and we should keep it.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
And especially leading into, you were saying what the police officer have to say, that goes into our Fifth Amendment, if that they have to read you your rights. Now, funny enough, I learned that the feds do not have to read your rights until, my government teacher would be so mad at me that I forgot this, but they don't have to read your rights, I want to say, until like you've been prosecuted, like they've found you guilty, and then they'll read you your rights. But or something like that. I'm so sorry that I forgot that. But the police officers always have to read you your rights, no matter what.
As soon as you get arrested, they have to say, you have the right to remain silent. Anything that you say will be used against you in the court of law. And then you have a right to an attorney. If you don't have one,
one will
be appointed to you. So that's what they have to say.
And even at the time, I think there was time where there's a case where I think it's we're going to future amendments, but one of the amendments is that it, like, before a certain time, you didn't have an attorney appointed to you. So it's nice that now we have an attorney. If you don't have the money, you can have one for you.
Exactly. Yeah.
I've always been curious. Are those attorneys any good? Like, are the government?
Yeah. Like, they were like pro bono cases. So they assign a person hired by the federal government, and they're supposed to be good, but it's not going to be as good as a person that you hire privately.
Probably, yeah. But I've just been curious. I'm like, did anybody ever win with those attorneys that they...
that'd be a good bonus episode, discussion episode thing. But for the Fifth Amendment, we will go... I want to talk about what the specifics are and why they were put into place. So the first thing is that no person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless a presentment or indictment of a grand jury, and except in cases of land or naval forces of the militia. So this statement just says that a person can never be held for punishment unless their case is held in front of a large group of people, and those people agree that this person has done something wrong.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, right? Like, if they don't want to talk, they don't have to talk, right?
So whenever you think about, if you have a person who accuses you, like I say, I accuse you of doing such crime, you're not just going to go to jail because of that. The person they have to prosecute you. They have to get a group of people to decide if your actions were wrong. And if they were wrong, then you will be prosecuted. If you're not, then you will be go free. So you won't even be inside the courtroom.
Gosh, we could have just done like all these like court amendments, because I'm just thinking about like the 6th and 7th of right to speedy trial, right to a trial by your peers. Yeah. You know, but we can't talk. Those would be future episodes coming up. But man, there's so much that goes into all those amendments that kind of all fit together.
Yeah. And the reason for this is that you can't be prosecuted just aimlessly by a person. So let's say the government in the time of 1776, the British soldier says he did something wrong. He would go straight to jail because he did something wrong. There would be no process for saying, oh, what did he do? Or what did he actually say something? And then now today, if we had the same person, they would decide on that case. And if he was the actual person, and then we have people, the actual citizens deciding on it. So it's not a person in power. It puts power in the people to say, oh, did he do something wrong?
Yeah.
And that's the case of that first clause. The next clause is that, nor shall any person be put for the same offense to be put twice in jeopardy of life or limb.
So I've always had questions on this. So like, let's say you murder someone once, and it's, I guess, I don't understand first degree and second degree murder. So it's considered one kind of murder, but then when you do it again, it's considered a different kind of murder. Because, you know, like there's a difference between first degree and second degree. So let's say you murder someone one time and they consider it quote unquote first degree. I don't know if I'm doing this right. But then if you do it again, is it first or third? Like, did they consider it a different degree? Or
you're saying if someone murdered someone and then they murdered someone again?
Yeah, because like, how do we charge them again for the same crime? That's the same crime.
Those are two different crimes because you did it on two different people. I'm thinking this is just saying that if you commit a crime, you didn't commit a crime, or you did commit a crime, and I, like, say I punched you, but you can't prove it, and then I go free, and then you find more evidence, you can't prosecute me against that.
Okay. That makes more sense.
So it's like in that instance, it would be a check against prosecuting someone multiple times. But the more important application of this is, for example, if someone in the government or someone in power tries to accuse someone that's in the opposition of the government. So let's say I'm the president of the United States and I have opposition and I want to accuse that person and I can't find any evidence. I can't accuse that person again of the same crime. So you can't do that twice.
And interesting.
Very important so that the person does not get into unnecessary litigation, unnecessary things that could waste the person's life away.
Again, that kind of stops a corruption side of it too, that they couldn't charge you for the same thing over and over again, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The third clause is that nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself.
Can you explain that in simpler terms?
Yeah. So the person cannot be compelled to be incriminating himself. So
you can't incriminate
yourself.
Yeah, okay.
What are your thoughts on that?
So can you give me an example? And then, like, I guess, like, let's say if I murder someone, then I can't incriminate myself. I can't, if I go out to the police and I say, hey, I just killed this guy, then I guess the evidence, like, am I incriminating myself?
You would be in that instance. The main point for this one is the Miranda rights. So if you look at the Miranda rights, you now have the right to remain silent. You do have the right to not incriminate yourself.
They should
say that so that you know anything that you say will be used in the court against you, so that you know yourself, if you ever do something wrong, you have the right not to incriminate yourself in court. And then in court, when they compel, like, make you, like, they ask you questions, the prosecutor asks you questions, and then they put you on the thing and they could make you say something that they make you say something that you didn't mean to say. Those words that you said won't be used against you in court because that's a compelled testimony. What they will use is actual evidence in the field of where you committed the crime. I mean, and that's what counts the most.
I consider that good and bad. I mean, I don't want people that are committing murders or crimes or heinous crimes to be like, even though they incriminated themselves, I still want that evidence. In my opinion, like, right, if someone kills someone and they incriminate themselves, I'm on the side of like, who cares? You just killed someone, like, you're going to jail. But I understand that, like, you know, there's different sides of like why they did it, so that you don't want to incriminate yourself or something. So I guess I kind of understand why it's there, but yeah.
And it puts an emphasis on the evidence, not who said what and who said this or that, because you and I have a different perspective. We see things differently, and I could see something differently, and then I say that it's I say a false thing because I thought it was this way. But if you go based on the evidence like the Fifth Amendment is saying, then you'll find the actual cause and battle it out. So the last thing is that nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. I thought this was like
an amendment in itself.
Yeah, it came out of the blue. Like, this was all about the process of law, process of having the individual rights, a process so that the individual has protections when he gets criminalized in the justice system. But then it was just like, out of the blue, property can never be taken for public use unless it's just compensation. I thought it was interesting, so I like it.
Cause it's a good law. Yeah.
It's a good law because it's saying that we have the right to private property and it cannot be taken from the government. And it's very important to conserve because as a college student, as a 19-year-old, I want to, in the future, buy my own house and live a life with a family of 3 or 4. And I want to build a income to where I can live comfortably in my life. And I never want that to be taken away from someone who didn't earn it.
Yeah, so like, main example we always think of probably is like highways. So let's say the government wants to build a highway through your land. Well, they're gonna have to take some of that land, so they're gonna have to compensate you with some money.
Yeah, they have to. And
but now again, my question is, are they paying you well, or are they trying to, what is it, cheapskate you and be like, we're gonna only give you this amount? I don't know. I would love to look into that and see like how much people actually get for their land, because obviously you're losing it and your land is becoming less valuable, especially if you have a nice house on some land and they're going to put a highway right next to it. Your value is going to go down because now it's noisy, now it's this, you know. I might as well just sell you the whole thing and get out of there if it's going to be all noisy and lower my property value, you know.
Mm-hmm. And I think you do still have the right to reject it as well, but then
do you?
I don't know.
I don't think you do. I think the government would just, like, until you have an offer that is acceptable to you, I'd assume, like, if you don't think that offer is very good, then you'd be like, no, more.
Then I have a problem with that, because it's a home, right? Like, it's your own home, something that you've always had. So I think that would be one thing I disagree with. The government should not take away or force someone to pay them off their land, because that's something that's very homely. That's something that's valuable to the person. So I would disagree with that. But yeah, this is the Fifth Amendment. Very important because it helps people have rights in whenever they're criminalized. And make sure you know that, because maybe you'll have a ticket and then you don't know what you have. Because you could do a lot of wrong things whenever you come into a police officer and then they could falsely incriminate you. So you don't want that to happen. You need to know the Fifth Amendment. And then, yeah, we just went through the 3rd, 4th, and 5th amendments. And any closing statements, Alex?
Just follow the rules, please.
Yeah, follow the rules.
Know your laws. Know your laws so that you can educate yourself. And when you get in a situation like a ticket, or, you know, they come knocking at your door, you know what your rights are. I think it's very important that we all stay educated in what the rights we do have and what we don't have.
Yeah. I definitely learned a lot from these first five amendments. In high school, I didn't really dive deep into them, but I think these 5 episodes helped me learn a lot about how valuable the 1st and 2nd are to our personal freedoms, and how valuable the 3rd, 4th, and 5th are to, like, pushing the government and limiting their power so that we can enjoy freedom without fearing yeah. living in a and terrorist state.
My last thing is, I would hope, like, I'm taking a government class right now, and it's very good. I have a very good teacher who keeps it all interactive. You want to be interested in government, take a government class with a good government teacher. It'll definitely keep you, like, interested and wanting to learn more about it. It's actually very interesting how it all works and all the rights laws and all the court cases that have gone in of people fighting for either injustice, you know, because I didn't realize, like, to change a law, you basically have to break the law and then go to court. And then hopefully if they don't agree, then it goes up to SCOTUS or a higher judge. And so the SCOTUS judges, which is the highest land of the highest court of the land, will make a decision for you. So it's just very interesting to see it all.
Yeah. And I love talking about this because it's something that we need to talk about. We normally don't talk about the justice system. We don't normally talk about anything about how America works, like, in normal day-to-day conversation. Mm-hmm. I think as Americans, we should know more about how our systems work, mm-hmm. and how we can incorporate these bills of rights, the 10 amendments, into our daily lives. Because if we know that, then we can preserve it for the future. And it also benefits us. We can use it to our advantage and then inspire others to take it as well.
Of course. That's yeah. awesome.
So make sure to check out our Instagram, Spotify, and YouTube pages. We're posting out weekly. This is part of 4 episodes on the first 10 amendments. We're going to publish 6, 7, and 8 in about 3 weeks coming up, and then 9 and 10 coming up in about 4 weeks. So these are very important. We wanted to focus on these 10 amendments because they are the cornerstone to the American Republic, and we need to know them as individuals that are here in America. The last thing I would want to wrap up with is I just want to say thank you for joining us on this journey, because your viewers are the reason why we do it, and I'd humbly ask you to share it with anybody you think that would enjoy this content. And Alex, you have anything else?
Just make sure to check us out if you check us out on Instagram, we're doing live streams now. So you can now get the episodes ahead of time, live stream the episodes, so you don't have to wait a week or 2 weeks. You can be live here listening to us and just hearing what we think on the topics that we talk about.
Yeah, I love doing this, and I think it's going to last for a long time. I think I want to do this for the unforeseeable future with you.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. This is the Sidespell On Podcast with Alex Canlucci. Thank you for listening. Sidespell On, signing off.